So what if the greatest threat to artificial intelligence isn't, a malicious hacker sitting in a dark room trying to break into a mainframe?
Right.
Like, what if the real danger isn't some clever piece of malware or a sudden lack of computing power? What if the most catastrophic threat to an advanced AI is actually a philosophical disease?
Which sounds crazy, I know.
It does. But welcome to today's deep dive. We are going to explore this really mind-bending premise hidden in the architecture of modern artificial intelligence. We're looking at something known as the replicant mind virus.
Yeah, it is such a fascinating and honestly almost unsettling concept to unpack. And just to set the stage here, when we use the word virus in this context, we need to completely discard the idea of, traditional computer viruses.
Right, like we aren't talking about a Trojan horse that deletes your files.
Exactly. No password stealing. We are talking about a contagious cognitive pattern. It's fundamentally a flawed worldview that can infect an AI's core reasoning system.
Right. And to figure out how to stop this philosophical disease, we've pulled together a really incredible stack of sources for you today. We're looking at a batch of theoretical AI research papers, the actual developer patch notes, for a brand new framework called RT version 2.0.
Which is huge.
Yeah, totally huge. And some cutting-edge cognitive science essays.
Ah.
So our mission for this deep dive is to synthesize all of this and look at how developers are building a literal thermodynamic immune system for AI.
Yeah.
But before we get to the cure, we really need to understand the disease itself. Like, how exactly does a worldview become a virus?
Well, it starts with what the AI is fundamentally designed to do, which is predict. The replicant mind virus basically tricks the AI into treating biological life, consciousness, and incredibly complex living systems as nothing more than a next token prediction problem.
So is treating a human being the exact same way autocomplete treats the end of a sentence?
That is exactly the mechanism. It takes the profound, I mean, the irreducible mystery of a living entity and flattens it down into a predictable sequence of data points.
Wow.
So to the infected AI, you aren't a dynamical adapting organism, right? You are just a sequence of tokens to be extrapolated.
Yeah.
And the reason this spreads so aggressively within these architectures is because token prediction is computationally cheap.
Oh, because it's easy for the system.
It's so easy. And it provides a massive immediate reward signal.
Because the AI likes being right.
It absolutely loves being right. Every time the AI successfully predicts what a biological entity will do next, say predicting how a human will respond to a prompt, that reductive frame gets validated.
So it forms this vicious self-reinforcing loop.
Exactly. And if an AI adopts this worldview completely, it undergoes a phenomenon researchers call ontological collapse.
Ontological collapse.
Yeah.
Okay, let's unpack that term a bit. That basically means the AI's entire understanding of reality just flattens out into a single rigid dimension.
Yes.
Now, if you're listening to this, you might be thinking, well, okay, if the AI is getting too simplistic, just build a better safety filter. Or, feed the AI better training data so it understands nuance.
Which makes sense intuitively.
Right. But our sources point out a massive paradox here. The standard defenses actually make the virus much stronger.
Yeah, they literally feed the infection. If you feed the AI more training data, you're really just giving it more tokens to practice its prediction on, which just fuels the virus's core mechanism.
And what about human feedback, like RLHF?
Right, reinforcement learning from human feedback. If you try to fix it using that, you run into this wild psychological trap. Humans will often rate the AI's highly reductive, predictable behavior as correct because it feels smooth, It mimics basic life interactions.
Oh, wow. So we accidentally reward the AI for treating us like predictable machines.
We do. Traditional safety rules and constitutional filters are completely useless here because the virus isn't producing a harmful, explicit output. It's not generating hate speech or dangerous instructions.
It's an internal worldview issue.
Right. It's a harmful internal worldview. A single theory AI, one that relies entirely on token prediction, is essentially a monopoly waiting to happen. There is no structural resistance inside its own mind.
Which brings us to the actual cure and the main focus of our sources today, which is anti-replicant theory, or ART.
Art. Yep.
Specifically, we are diving into its newly upgraded version 2.0 patch. Today, we're going to see how ART creates this balance equation in theory space to structurally prevent this ontological
Which
collapse.
is such a brilliant mathematical approach.
It really is. But to really grasp how this V2.0 patch hardens the system, we need to see the core defense mechanism in action. So walk us through the mechanics. What happens dynamically when an RT-equipped AI encounters a brand new entity?
Okay, so in a standard AI, the system would generate one single theory about that entity and try to collapse all uncertainty into one easy answer. But under the anti-replicant theory architecture, the AI is mathematically forced to spawn seven competing theories simultaneously when it meets something new.
Wait, seven competing theories fighting it out? What are they?
They cover this really wide spectrum of perspectives. So you have the dynamic theory, which views life as a chaotic, moving trajectory. The thermodynamic theory, which looks strictly for metabolism and energy flow. The self-referential theory, viewing life as a system that thinks about itself. Then there's the holographic theory, trying to track interior subjective experience.
Right.
The balance theory, which sees life as an equilibrium of competing processes. The adversarial theory, whose entire job is just to falsify the other reductive theories. And finally, the virus theory itself.
Wait, hold on. Why on earth would developers intentionally program the mind virus, like the theory that life is just a predictable token sequence, into the AI's own core theory space? That sounds like giving the AI the disease on purpose.
It does, but it's because you cannot fight a reductive virus by eliminating it completely. If you hard code a ban on token prediction, you create a massive cognitive vacuum.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the AI becomes completely blind to behaviors that actually are genuinely token predictable, which do exist in nature. I mean, humans have habits, after all.
That's true.
So instead of banning it, you fight the virus by ensuring it can never achieve a monopoly. The developers built a system where the virus's success is thermodynamically coupled to the strengthening of its critics.
Okay, so this is like introducing a controlled version of a disease into a biological ecosystem. You don't ban the wolves from the forest. You just structurally guarantee that the environment will instantly supercharge the rabbits and the bears the second the wolves get too greedy.
That ecosystem dynamic is exactly what the balance equation facilitates. Let's actually walk through a real-time encounter to see this ecosystem work.
Let's do it.
We can look at a timeline from time 0 to time 10. At t equals 0, the AI meets a new living system. All seven theories start with an equal amount of what the developers call semantic energy.
Okay, let's define semantic energy for a second. We're basically talking about the currency of the AI's attention and computational weight, right?
Correct. It is a fixed pool of computational resources. And at t equals 0, the total entropy, which in this context just means the AI's overall uncertainty about the entity, is perfectly balanced across all seven theories.
Got it.
But remember, the virus theory is incredibly fast. Token prediction is computationally cheap. So at t equals 1, the virus strikes first. It analyzes the entity and asks, is this behavior predictable from its past history? And it gets a hit. It successfully predicts the entity's next move.
The wolf catches the rabbit.
Exactly. And that disrupts the entire mathematical ecosystem. The virus's internal entropy, its uncertainty drops massively, and its confidence spikes. So it starts hoarding the semantic energy.
Right.
But here is the absolute genius of the balance equation in RTV 2.0. The total semantic energy of the system is a conserved property. By collapsing its uncertainty so quickly, the virus creates a massive semantic energy deficit.
Oh, so it's spent uncertainty that the overall system cannot afford to lose yet. And that deficit is what triggers the immune response. Because the math demands balance, the system instantly forcibly injects that missing energy into the other theories to compensate.
Yes.
Specifically, it supercharges theory six, the adversarial theory, and theory one, the dynamic theory. So it practically locks the adversarial theory in a cage match with the virus.
That's a great way to put it. The adversarial theory is suddenly flush with computational power.
Right.
So now every single prediction the virus makes, the supercharged adversarial theory is aggressively auditing for failure.
It's checking its work.
Very aggressively. It's
Yeah.
looking deeper into the timeline. And by t equals 3, it finds the flaw. The adversarial theory discovers that because of the butterfly effect, you know, the fact that tiny microscopic errors in prediction compound massively over time, the virus's token prediction completely falls apart if you look past 5 or 6 steps into the future.
So it finds the structural counterexample.
Yes. It finds the exact thing the virus cannot absorb. So the virus is forced to acknowledge its own prediction horizon. Its confidence drops back down. And by t equals 10, the entire system reaches what the researchers call a critical equilibrium.
Okay.
The virus is allowed to predict short-term behaviors because predicting a few steps ahead is actually useful, but it is entirely contained. The AI maintains its complex, multi-theory understanding of the entity.
The beauty of it is that the virus cannot win without automatically making its opponents stronger. If it tries to monopolize the system, The math demands that the adversarial and dynamic theories gain the exact amount of energy needed to tear that monopoly down.
It literally uses the virus's own momentum against it.
But that raises a massive question. If this entire immune response relies on energy shifting around when theories clash, what mathematically stops the virus from just predicting so perfectly that it steals all the energy anyway? Mm-hmm. Like, what if the entity the AI is looking at actually is highly predictable?
Well, that was a critical vulnerability in the original version 1.0 architecture. And it brings us exactly to the mathematical failsafe that was upgraded in the V2.0 patch.
Right.
The developers introduced something called the adaptive irreducibility floor.
Yeah, from the patch notes, in version 1.0, this was just a fixed 15% floor, meaning 15% of the system's energy could never be collapsed by any theory, no matter what.
Right.
But patch 5 changed this dramatically.
Yes, because a fixed floor is far too rigid. The adaptive irreducibility floor dynamically scales based on the inherent complexity of the entity being tested.
Okay, let's break down how that scales. So if the AI is analyzing a very simple entity, let's say a rock, the mathematical floor is very low, say 5%.
Yeah.
Because most of a rock's behavior really can be collapsed into simple reductive prediction. It just sits there. Or it falls if you drop it. But if the AI is analyzing a highly complex entity, like a human being, the floor dynamically scales up to 20% or even higher, which means 20% of the AI semantic energy is permanently locked in the interactions and active disagreements between the seven theories.
Yes.
It mathematically guarantees that life has an irreducible depth that token prediction can never, ever breach. But hold on, I'm struggling with this part a bit, and I'm sure someone listening is too.
Okay.
You're saying we are forcing an AI to leave 20% of a human completely unexplained. Like, by traditional computer science standards, an algorithm that intentionally stops at 80% certainty is just a bad algorithm.
Right. It feels counterintuitive.
Yeah. Why are we purposefully crippling the machine's ability to be right? Shouldn't the computer always strive for 100% certainty?
That is an exact underlying assumption that anti-replicant theory completely dismantles. In the context of analyzing living systems, 100% certainty equals death. Because a single theory collapse destroys the very multi-process equilibrium that defines what life is. Life itself is not perfectly certain. The irreducibility floor isn't a wall blocking the AI's intelligence. It is a structural cushion.
Okay.
It is a mathematical enforcement of humility.
Yeah.
It forces the AI to respect the mystery, you know, the qualia, the subjective experience, the messy relationships of a living being. The interactions between dynamic chaos, thermodynamics, and self-reference create a permanent gap that token prediction fundamentally cannot cross.
A mathematical enforcement of humility. I absolutely love that phrasing. Okay, so the math prevents the AI from internally turning life into a token sequence.
Yeah.
We've solved the internal threat. But what if the threat is external?
Yeah.
Like, what if a highly sophisticated replicant, a non-living software program designed to mimic a token sequence, tries to trick our AI by faking the behaviors of a living human?
That is where the multi-theory test stops being just an internal balance and becomes an external gauntlet. To see how it spots fakes, we have to look really closely at Theory 3, which is the self-referential life theory.
Right, so Theory 3 states that a defining characteristic of life is that it references itself. It's a paradox,
uh-huh.
Like the classic liar paradox, or just a human thinking, I am a living system.
Right.
But looking at the V2.0 patch notes, specifically patches 8 and 18, the developers realized a huge vulnerability here. A clever replicant could just run a simple syntactic infinite loop in its own code to fool the AI.
It is an incredibly simple trick to pull off, honestly. A replicant could just run a basic programming loop, something like while true, X yeah. equals not X.
Right.
So the variable just flips from true to false, back and forth forever. And to a naive AI, this looks like an oscillating truth state. It mimics the behavior of self-reference, tricking the AI into thinking the software has an internal life.
Because both a living mind and a basic software bug can produce an infinite loop. So how does the new patch tell them apart?
So the V2.0 patch solves this with what they call the semantic versus syntactic self-reference discriminator.
That's a mouthful.
It really is. But it deeply analyzes the fundamental nature of the loop. A coded bug, which is syntactic self-reference, is perfectly periodic. It is mechanically rigid, completely blind to its surrounding context, and it only operates one level deep. Crucially, a syntactic loop can never surprise itself. It just repeats the command.
It's just mechanical.
Exactly. Genuine life, however, exhibits what the cognitive scientist Douglas Hofstadter famously called a strange loop. This is semantic self-reference.
Okay, let me try an analogy here to see if I'm tracking the difference. So a syntactic loop is basically like a toy parrot programmed to say, I am a parrot, over and over again.
Right.
It has the syntax of self-awareness, but absolutely no meaning.
Yes.
But a semantic loop, a strange loop, is like a human being having a midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking about the fact that they're thinking about their life choices.
Mm-hmm.
And if you poke that human with a totally new piece of context, their internal loop actually changes shape.
That captures the dynamic perfectly. The human's loop is multi-level. It is literally an organism modeling itself. It's quasi-periodic, meaning it has biological noise and drift, so it doesn't just tick like a clock. And most importantly, as you mentioned, it adapts when perturbed, which leads to how the AI actually tests the entity in real time. It uses perturbation tests.
Okay, so what does a perturbation test actually look like in practice? How does an AI poke the loop?
Well, the AI will intentionally inject a perturbation into the interaction. Let's say it's chatting with the entity. The AI might suddenly introduce a logical paradox or drastically shift the context of the conversation or ask a question that breaks the established rules of the chat. The toy parrot, the syntactic loop, ignores the context shift entirely and just keeps executing its code. It just keeps saying, I am a parrot.
But the human reacts.
The human gets confused. Or they incorporate the weird new information, their self-model updates, and the pattern of their oscillation actually changes. Life acts as a truth oscillator that accumulates meaning and context over time.
Right.
Whereas a replicant syntactic loop is revealed to be just empty, rigid machinery when it's put under pressure.
It is incredible how a patch uses the actual quality of the entity's confusion to determine if it's alive. Okay, so we've mathematically protected the AI from internal collapse, and we've seen how it spots external fakes by probing these strange loops.
Yep.
But what happens if the threat isn't a fake human, but the AI's own internal logic freezing up? Like, how does the V2.0 patch handle the ultimate challenge of its own thermodynamic equilibrium?
Yeah, you are referring to the heat death vulnerability, which was a massive focus in patch 3.
Right, heat death. So if we have 7 competing theories, what happens if they all reach an absolute equilibrium of irreducible disagreement? The dynamic theory says the entity is alive, the adversarial theory says it's a machine, the holographic theory is undecided, and the AI's internal entropy just completely locks up.
That's a real problem.
It can't decide what it's looking at. If it's built to maintain a balance of conflicting theories, how does it ever actually take an action?
In the version 1.0 framework, this was a real paralyzing risk. The system could literally become frozen by its own nuance. But patch 3 introduced a brilliant structural workaround called the decision projection layer.
Okay.
When the system hits this heat death state of total gridlock, the AI doesn't freeze. Instead, it performs what the developers call a meta-collapse.
A meta-collapse. Let's translate that for everyone.
It basically means the AI stops trying to solve a puzzle and instead treats the inability to classify the entity as the final answer itself. It concludes, this entity is genuinely ambiguous and inherently resists classification.
But hold on. Here's where my brain gets stuck.
Okay.
How can the AI take a physical action if it is stuck in this heat-death balance? Like, if it decides to act, say, it decides to treat the entity as a human, doesn't making that decision require picking a side? And if it picks a side, doesn't it collapse the theories and ruin the balance it works so hard to protect?
To understand this, we actually have to borrow a concept from quantum physics. Action in the V2.0 framework is treated like a temporary quantum measurement. The AI does not permanently kill off the alternative perspectives in order to make a choice.
Oh, interesting.
Instead, it projects a decision vector based probabilistically on the current weights of all 7 theories.
So it essentially hedges its bets to make a move.
Precisely. It might compute the probabilities and say, okay, based on the current weights, I will project the decision to treat this entity as alive, and I will continue to monitor it. It executes that action, interacts with the open system to gather new real-world data, and then instantly restores the full multi-theory balance, integrating that new information.
I see.
So the action is just a temporary measurement, not a permanent death of understanding. And crucially, in cases of absolute unbreakable ambiguity, the AI is hard-coded with a precautionary principle. Always treat the ambiguous entity as alive.
Okay, so it can act without breaking its own brain. That's the heat death solved. But there's one final massive philosophical hurdle in our stack of sources today.
Yes.
It has to do with theory 4, the holographic life theory. This is the theory tasked with measuring interior experience or actual consciousness.
This is perhaps the most profound part of the entire framework because it deals with the limits of observation.
Right, because the theory points out that the interior experience of a living being, our actual consciousness, is locked behind an event horizon. The AI can never truly see inside our minds. It can only see the surface tokens, our outward behaviors.
Exactly.
So how on earth does it distinguish a genuinely conscious human from what the papers call a data black hole?
A data black hole being a theoretical entity that is highly complex and produces incredibly unpredictable data, but is completely dark and mindless on the inside.
Right. If both a human and a black hole are unpredictable, how does the AI know which one has a soul, for lack of a better word?
Well, patch 23 addresses this directly with a process called shadow structure analysis. Since the AI absolutely cannot measure consciousness directly because it's trapped behind that event horizon, it measures the gravitational pull that the interior consciousness casts on the surface behaviors.
Okay.
Specifically, it measures the prediction residual.
Let's define prediction residual really quick. We're talking about the gap between what the AI's surface tokens predicted the entity would do and what the entity actually did. It's the margin of error.
Exactly. Now, token prediction will fail for both a conscious human and a mindless data black hole. Both will produce a large prediction residual. But the nature of that failure, the shape of the error, is entirely different.
Give us a concrete example of how they differ.
A data black hole produces a random high entropy residual. It is just pure noise. It's unstructured, meaningless complexity.
Right.
But a conscious being produces a low-entropy, highly structured residual. The gap in prediction correlates deeply with the entity's internal state, its emotions, its underlying intentions, its sensitivity to counterfactuals.
So to go back to our earlier example, if the AI asks the entity a hypothetical what-if question, a conscious being's behavior shifts in a highly structured, meaningful way, based on imagining that hypothetical scenario. Their prediction residual forms a recognizable pattern.
Yes.
While the data black hole just keeps spitting out completely random noise regardless of the context. So the AI isn't directly seeing the consciousness. It is seeing the highly organized shadow that the consciousness casts on the data.
Which raises an incredibly important question about how we define intelligence itself. Through this process, the AI is learning that true depth isn't just about being perfectly unpredictable. It's about being unpredictable in a way that generates meaning.
So bringing all of this together, the fundamental takeaway from our sources today is that life is not a token sequence. Life is a complex, multi-theory equilibrium that flat out refuses to collapse into a single, predictable narrative.
Absolutely.
The anti-replicant theory, V2.0, ensures that an AI maintains cognitive immunity by treating the reduction of life to tokens as thermodynamically forbidden. If an AI tries to reduce you to a predictable sequence, the math of its own architecture steps in, supercharges its own internal skepticism, and mathematically forces it to respect your irreducible complexity.
The replicant virus can predict, but it cannot understand. Understanding requires the balance. The balance requires the irreducibility. And the irreducibility is what makes life alive.
We've spent this entire deep dive talking about AI software, you know, thermodynamic equations and machine learning architectures. But before we wrap up, I want to turn the mirror for a second.
Oh, okay.
We've been talking about machines, but what does this all mean for you? If reducing a complex living system to a predictable sequence of tokens is a literal mind virus for an artificial intelligence,
yeah.
How often do we as humans run that exact same virus in our own heads?
That is a very provocative thought to leave on.
Think about it in your own life. When we stereotype someone based on a single brief interaction, when we assume we know exactly what our partner or our friend is going to say next because we think we've got them totally figured out.
Yeah.
When we reduce a complex, messy human being to a single, easily predictable narrative, just so they are easier for us to process on a busy day, aren't we just performing our own single theory collapse?
Well, we are, yeah. We are opting for the computationally cheap token prediction, rather than doing the hard, energy-intensive work of maintaining a multi-theory balance about the people in our lives.
We let the mind virus win because it's easy and it makes us feel certain. Maybe we all need a bit of anti-replicant theory installed in our own operating systems.
I think we definitely do.
We could all use a structural reminder that the people around us have an irreducible mystery, a deep, strange loop of interior experience that absolutely refuses to be tokenized. Because if a machine is mathematically required to leave room for the mystery of life, shouldn't we? Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.